If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 10. Book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 2. Again, I express my appreciation of your people and many years of your prayers and faithful support. It really blessed my heart, and we're very thankful for you, what you have done for us all these years. Let's begin with the word of prayer before we read the word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this body of believers and praying for the deaf ministry in India and the financial support, and that you have blessed this church in a special way for honor you, to exalt your name, and to glorify your name, that the world may see Christ. Help me to preach thy word and ask for your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 10, beginning verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is so ripe. The field is so ripe. And looking at the world population, we looked a little bit of history about over 200 years ago, about 1800. The world population at that time was about 1 billion people. About 200 years later, in 2020, it says 7.8 billion people. From 1 billion people to almost 8 billion people in 200 years' time. Can you imagine another 200 years what the world population will be then? Probably 15 billion people, maybe triple that amount by that time. It needs to be realistic where the population is going. You know that in China, India, and Africa, the three continents, each has about 1.4 billion people. And those are the three countries or continents take care of about half of the world population. Now the cities with large population, Tokyo, Japan, has today about 37.4 million people. New Delhi, India, where the nation where God has called to minister to, 29.4 million people, almost 30 million people. Shanghai, China, 26.3 million people. That's all the people in there. Now, when we look in the country or the continent of Australia, 25 million people. Now, just a separate thing. Suppose Australia deport all of their own people. Everybody's gone. Tokyo, Japan, we have more than enough people to fill up that continent. Just one city. Can you fathom that? Can you visualize that? Wow. It is something. You know, there is a mission. There is a need. And there is a purpose. Our Heavenly Father is a mission-minded God. In John chapter 3, verse 16, 17, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. Since the fall of sin, God has a plan. He has a mission. He saw there is a need. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And the main purpose is that the world through him, through Jesus, may be saved. You see, the gospel has the only salvation message. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name, Jesus Christ, is through him and him alone. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So how are we going to carry on this mission? When are we going to stop till he comes back for us? Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go, yea, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is a mission to go out and preach the gospel. Mission is the heartbeat of the church. This church, your church, ought to have a mission-minded church. I went on the internet trying to understand about some of your people. I was spying on them, what your people are all about. And they said, hey, this church is mission minded. They have the heartbeat for mission. Praise the Lord. You see, God gave us his divine commission. Matthew chapter 28. Verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God gave a commission to his people. We have a duty. We have a duty to carry out his mission. We have a duty to fulfill that need that's out there. And there is a purpose. The main purpose is that people will be saved and not go to hell, but will come to Jesus and go to heaven. As of today, Christianity represents about possibly about 30% of the world population. That's been including all different kinds of denominations. 33%. Now, what is the second major religion? Muslim represents 21% of the world population. There's a lot of Muslim people out there, even here in the United States. And Hinduism represents about 13% of the world population. Now listen to this. In 1945, there was about one Muslim for every seven people. one Muslim for every seven people. Now, about 75 years later, in 2020, I look at the statistics, there's one Muslim for every four people. Do you know how fast it increased the ratio? It's alarming. It's a wake-up call to the churches. Hey, if you're not going to reach people for Christ, somebody else will. The Muslim will get them. And they will get stronger and stronger and stronger and suppress Christianity even more. What about this country, our country, the United States? The spiritual condition. In 1990, about 85% identified themselves as Christians. That's in 1990. It wasn't too long ago when I got saved, and during the early 1970s, about as high as 92%. But today, 2019, 65% identify themselves as Christian, which is a decrease of 20% in about 30 years' time. That's alarming also, too. What the brother tells us right here, though statistics speaking, hey, we need a revival here in America. America needs to wake up. And our moral value is becoming less and less and less because Christianity becomes less and less and less. And so the world then doing immoral kind of living is increased, which is bad, making more harder for Christian conduct their everyday living. Jesus said, the harvest is ripe. It's ripe. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white, all ready to harvest. The harvest is so ripe. I'm an old country boy. I'm from Manitou County. I live about 12 miles away from the city. And there's farms all around us. And we had a cornfield behind the garage. And it wasn't belong to us, it belonged to our neighbor, so he's a farmer. And my dad, when we moved for corn, my dad just picked up the phone and asked the neighbor if we could pick some corn for our family. And he said, sure, go help yourself. And then my dad would take a few paper bags and hand to each of our boys. They go behind the garage and pick some corn for supper. And you go walk right behind the garage and pick some corn and clean it up. And mom would boil some corn for supper. And that neighbor, he's a pretty good-sized farm, and one day he became very sick. And it was harvest time, and the corn is ripe, and he needs to be taken to the cellar to make corn salad. And his friend would tell other neighbors, and he said, hey, our friend is sick, and the corn is ripe. Let's get our heads together and help our friends out. And so they got their heads together, and all kinds of trackers go out in the fields and harvest the corn for him and pour it in the barn for him. They got their head together and make it happen. And that's how the churches need to do. And when you send out missionaries, And initially, he began to the needs, to present the work, and you saw what they saw over there, and it showed the need. They are trying to carry out the mission that God's calling out there to do. So what the body of believers need to get their head together, hey, maybe you can't go, but that person can go. What shall we do? Well, hopefully you pray about that first, and you vote on there, and you say, yeah, man, let's help that person get out there so that they may need the gospel, that they may be saved. In Psalm chapter 126, verse 6, the Bible says, he that goeth forth and reapeth, beareth precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. And you support many missionaries. You have a part in bringing many seeds of many souls. One day God will call up you up there yonder. You bring your sheaf and rejoicing in heaven. And you will meet all those people that you never met. But they will know that you have a part in carrying that gospel, and let that him or her know that you had a part sending a mission out there. Even this morning, with one deaf man passed away. You had a part and invested in us to go over there and tell that person about Jesus. And he got saved. Someday you're going to meet that person in heaven. And the same with the rest of our other people that you, missionaries that you have supported. Did you ever ask a man who is a fireman why he wants to be a fireman? And he probably would say, well, to save the rest of people from the danger of fire. Well, you were asked a missionary why you want to go to Africa, why you want to go to Indonesia. Yeah. To get people to get saved. To save people from going to hell. You see? They have a business. They have a mission. The purpose of that mission is to warn people to the judgment of God. In John chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible said that the world through him might be saved. There's no other name. There's no other way. But Jesus Christ alone. Now, what kind of people that can be a witness or missionary for Jesus? Business people? No, in the New Testament, Matthew was a tax collector. He was a businessman. And there was a businessman that I met in India. He was from Minnesota. He told me he was in the military, and after he retired, he flew back and forth to India about 40 different times. Whoa! He would take some money that God's people give to him. He takes it with him and get to the native where he goes and buy some parts of land and build buildings up there to the. They have a ministry going over there, 40 different times, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Why? He gets around. Doctors, yeah. Luke was a doctor in the New Testament, the book of Luke. He was a doctor. We know of a doctor named Rebecca Nair, the doctor in India who delivered two of our babies in India. One of them was Daniel. That you support. Just a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were sitting at the table and said, I wonder how Dr. Nebetanero is doing. Well, so I Googled him. Well, I think she's still alive. And he got an email. Oh, maybe just say hello. So my wife sent a message And you know what? We got a reply the very next day. He said, oh, it's how nice of you to call me. This lady, and she wrote a book, and we got a book that's about a couple of weeks ago also written by her. She's a Cinder Lady missionary. But she's a doctor. She was a administrator of the hospital. She founded an institute for training nurses, 350 ladies that she trained to be a nurse. And she was an intimate help of some 77 different churches. She never was married, but she was a key to help get 70 churches started there. And people who was against her tried to throw her down. I saw the book, the picture, and said, hey, I remember this. There was a dummy with a rope hanging on the tree and trying to get rid of her. Send him to court. But by God's grace, God helped her to win the case. And she stayed on in that ministry. Never was married. She was so focused in getting the gospel to these people. Every day, the doctor would attend many of her patients. Every day, she'd go room to room, and she would sit down, and she would read portion of the Bible to her patient. She's a Baptist. Her father was a preacher. I'm sure she learned a lot from her dad. And she's probably just a few years older than him. She still has a part in ministry. Nurses. We have friends who are nurses in India. There was a husband and wife in Indiana, and they were RN nurses. And God called them to be a missionary to India. They sold a farm, went to India. And they are helping in the hospital, teaching different techniques in the hospital situation. And they invited in their home Hindus and Muslim people in their home. And they have on the wall all the Bible verses on the wall. So when they come, they will see the Word of God on the walls. Not only do they teach the techniques of the hospital situation, they also get some part of the teaching while it's on the wall. Fishermen. Some of you have never been to college, but Peter never went to college. And God, you know how God used him greatly. And you said, I'm nobody. I've never been to Bible college. But some of you have been attending church for years and going to church every Sunday after Sunday, and you had a pretty good grasp of the Bible than most people were having in your local community. And you're probably not able to go to Bible college as neither did Peter. Although he was under the teaching with Jesus for 3.5 years. But even God can use a fisherman like Peter. Blind people, though you cannot see. We know of a blind missionary by the name of Brother Barnes to the Philippines. When I was down in Texas, there were three kinds of missionaries down there. I was one of them, deaf. The one is blind. The other one is dumb. No, I'm sorry, it's the normal people. And he'd been there for many, many years in the Philippines. So if God could use a blind person and be a missionary, if God could use me to be a missionary, God can use you too. And the deaf, yeah. We know of a man named Brother William Miller, deaf missionary to Peru. And right down in Jacksonville, Florida, and there's the Trinity Baptist Church down there, and there was an interpreter the preacher's message, and he felt called to be a missionary. Then the very next day, there was a knock on the door. The pastor got up and opened the door, And this deaf man, Brother Miller, had two suitcases in his hand. He said, I'm ready to go. Oh, really, maybe we did some things we have to do to prepare you to go, you know. And he meant business. We need men. We need women. It means business for God to carry out his mission, to fulfill that need. And they have a purpose to see people to get saved, you see. Anyone. God can use anyone in his harvest. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, the Bible says, God is no respecter of person. Where you can see, or you have vision impaired, or you have trouble with your ears, maybe you have some type of disability. God can use anyone. The need for a missionary. We need missionary beyond the fear. Very few are going out. Since 1950, there were about 100,000 missionaries sent out. And today, that's about 80 years later, 2020, only about 29,000 which I know. Of the 29,000, 7,900 were independent Baptist missionaries. So, there's about 71 drop in missionaries going out in the field. These facts were given by Brother Jim Bushman from independentbaptist.com. You want to find that information. That is a statistic that I gather up. Now, wow. In 80 years' time, 71% decrease. 71% decrease in missionary going out in the field. And the population going up, 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 up. And the missionaries going out in the field going down, 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 down. It's imbalanced. It should be the other way around. The need is great. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, the Bible said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? They need to get out there. We need to. God's people need to get their head together. They say, hey, let's take that couple out there in such and such a country. Be part of the great divine commission here that God has said. William Carey complained about that inaction of his day. He said, multitudes sit at ease with no concern about the loss. We must not be content with just praying without exercise of those things we pray for. He was a missionary to India. The church is the investor in mission. The Christian in the local church. That's where God people can agree together to send out missionaries by opening their wallets and purses while praying. My wife and I were able to missionary to the deaf for fully 1 year. As a result, we have a part of established 5 different deaf ministries in India. Because part of it, you are one of them to help us get over there. To establish a different ministry in that country. And you have a part of all the different missionaries that you support in different countries. You support them by pray for them for their health. We sent an email about a week ago, one of our missionaries to India, a husband and wife. The pastor and his wife both had COVID. We need to pray for them. Especially right now. And we've been told from the people in India that it's not getting better. Before it gets better, it's going to get more worse. Next month, toward the end of July, will be the peak. That's what this estimate. So the worst is yet to come yet, down there. So you need to pray that God will remove this COVID situation, that the people of India will get back on their feet and go about their normal living, and that God's people can come together and meet together to worship. And pray that people of India will look up to God, that He's the answer for their life, the life thereafter, that Jesus Christ is the answer. God can use you, people. Many of us maybe don't like to go out with you because perhaps you're afraid. Maybe some fear inside of you. People look funny towards you. You may feel inaccurate. You feel you can't do it. You don't want to feel stupid. You don't feel you're afraid that you're going to make a mistake and say the wrong thing. You may feel they're going to reject you. But you know, the world has rejected Jesus. They put him to the cross. They rejected Jesus. And Jesus, he accepted the rejection. He overlooked that. Went to the cross. That he knows that he's the only way that people can get saved. So if people will reject you, they're not done you, hey, think of what Jesus had to go through. He was rejected. And they look down on Jesus. There was a writer from Michigan, Warren, Michigan, Norman Geisler, that's the person's name. And he rode a short bus when he was 9 years old, until he was 17 years old. And then he got saved. So the same bus driver was making 400 bus trips to church for him. Finally, he got saved. So every time he stepped in the bus, 200, 300, 400, he got saved. Never underestimate the power of God. Power to save. Some of us feel, what's the point? He thumbs down every time I try to talk about the Lord. Keep praying for that person. Show that you care for that person. I'm praying for you. Someday, God is going to touch his tender heart and open up his heart to Jesus. Look what happened to Saul in the New Testament, how God saved him. He's a hard-hearted person, but God used him in a mighty way. If God could take control of that hard-hearted man and wrote many New Testaments in the Bible, God can use you and give you power. And when you go, and with it, you go in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, Lord, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. You do not go alone. When Christ is in your heart, you never go alone. The Lord is with you always till he calls you up home. And may God help you to carry out that mission to fulfill that need, and there's a purpose. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word. You've given us a commission. You are showing us the need. You are showing us the purpose. May you, because of that person, to go forth, be enthusiastic to that calling. For this I say, in Jesus' name, amen.